Well, Americans' attitudes toward legalizing medical and recreational marijuana have changed. Has that been influenced by the way marijuana is treated on popular television shows? Or is it the other way around? Exhibit one, this clip from South Park during a search for fried chicken.
Can I help you, sir?
Yeah, we were actually looking to get some KFC.
Oh, yeah, sorry, that's gone. We only sell marijuana here.
Really? I mean, you're openly selling pot, for reals?
Sure. New state laws say it's okay.
All right! I love the future!
Since that episode aired, Colorado and Washington states have legalized recreational marijuana for adults. Joining us to talk about how pot is portrayed on TV, Bob Thompson, the director of the Blair Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Thank you for having me.
So how would you compare that clip from South Park to, say, the first time a character smoked pot on TV?
Well, you know, that's a cable show, and cable shows are doing, you know, they're we have cable shows where a serial killer, Dexter, is the good guy. Cable shows where we have a warm and fuzzy mafia leader in Tony Soprano. So those kinds of things don't surprise me. The Big C, Homeland, Hot in Cleveland, the list goes on and on. Where casual marijuana use has been being portrayed. What I think is really interesting is how mainstream network broadcasting programming has started to do this, and they've been doing that actually for a long time. I have to say, I was a bit shocked the first time I watched an episode of the 70s show, which portrayed the kids down in the basement, and there was it was shot through this kind of cloud of smoke, and they were all clearly stoned. And that was a, you know, that was a broadcast television show. And then we went into the later seasons of Two and a Half Men, where the half man, the little kid Jake, was also obviously shown as kind of a casual stoner. And this was something different. This wasn't cable TV. This wasn't Cheech and Chong back in 1978, or Jeff Spicoli on Fast Times at Ridgemont High, who, when he left his van to go into class, there'd be huge billows of smoke. This was showing that this casual kind of portrayal had gone right into the center of the heart of American mass culture, which was network broadcast television.
You know, I was trying to remember as I was preparing for this segment, Bob, about when I had seen marijuana portrayed, say, in the 60s or 70s, the real 70s, not the TV show about the 70s.
Right.
And all I could think of was Dragnet. But I don't remember them talking about marijuana. I remember them talking about LSD and psychedelics in the most severe terms. How was marijuana even part of television back in those days?
Yes, they did do marijuana on Dragnet. And there were two Dragnets. There was the 50s Dragnet, which was black and white kind of film noir sort of thing. But then there was the reboot of Dragnet in color in the 1960s, right in the center of the counterculture movement, and it treated drug use of any kind, pot included, like communism had been treated in the 1950s. That this was that any use whatsoever of this kind of thing was going to start a domino effect that would, cause the end of the world as we know it. And Jack Webb, in that dry delivery staccato that he had, really made this stuff seem, when those episodes played, like public enemy number one.
Yeah.
And most marijuana use back then was done in that reefer madness kind of way. They were tales of how bad this was. Then we moved into the late 60s, and there were a couple of little inklings. You'd get sly references that you actually had to be paying attention to on shows like the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour and Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. But they were pretty oblique, and unless you were kind of part of the club, you didn't really know what was going on. And like so many other things, the portrayal of gays and lesbians, the portrayal of all kinds of things, it took television a long time before it began to absorb what had become pretty commonplace in mainstream culture.
Well, that was my question. Is television leading on this? Are people seeing portrayals on mainstream broadcast television, and is that affecting their attitudes? Is that normalizing it? Or is it the other way around? Are the TV shows just reflecting what's going on out there?
Yeah, well, that's a complicated question. And to some extent, it's almost like saying, does the rain cause the weather, or does the weather cause the rain? The rain is the weather. I mean, the two of these are in a constant dance, and nobody is really leading. But for the most part, in most of television history, up until the last decade or so, television took its sweet time in integrating stuff that had been going on in mainstream culture. In 1968, we're in the midst of the Vietnam War, one of the worst years, and one of the most popular shows on TV was Gomer Pyle USMC, that took place in the contemporary Marine Corps, for heaven's sakes, and never mentioned that there was a war going on at all. I think the general rule of thumb is that other institutions tend to push envelopes, but mainstream television is really good at licking those envelopes once they've been pushed. So by the time Ellen comes out in her episode in the late 1990s, all kinds of progress had been made in raising of consciousness with regards to gays and lesbians and all of that kind of thing. There have been people now already in positions of power. But when that episode played, the idea that old-school network television was now taking this as normal and naturalized and all the rest of it, that was an important moment, and Will and Grace as well. So it's television, for the most part, until very recently, is not on the revolutionary avant-garde, but they are really good at the derriere-garde of kind of making this stuff seem natural by saying, all right, if mainstream television is doing it, it must simply not be a controversy anymore.
Hey, I think you just got the title for your next book, The Derriere Guard. I like that. That would be fantastic.
Maybe.
Has there been, or is there, I may have missed it, a successful recreational marijuana user who's not portrayed as a loser or kind of in dark terms on mainstream TV? Have we seen that character yet?
Well, certainly there are people that aren't losers. I mean, I guess Don Draper on Mad Men, he's a lot of things, but I don't think I'd categorize him as a loser. But he's certainly dark. He's certainly a guy that, in my personal opinion, that show is leading toward his suicide at the end of the series when it finally happens.
He did press the down button on that elevator in that last episode we saw.
That's right. But it has changed. I mean, it used to be, I suppose, one of the big breakthroughs was the Cheech and Chong movies. Which I think the first one still, Up in Smoke was 78, if I'm not mistaken. And those were burlesques, and we still have that, the sort of funny stoner who is constantly looking for Twinkies, and almost like alcohol use used to be portrayed before that. Remember Dean Martin, who'd
sure.
come out in this delightfully sloshed sort of fashion. And we still have that portrayed in a lot of ways. But a lot of these shows now, especially cable programs, are presenting characters who are not necessarily just the comic clown stoner burlesques, but people who are simply, like, let's face it, many people in this country are using marijuana as part of their quote-unquote lifestyle. That doesn't necessarily mean they've become somebody who can think about nothing but scoring their next beef jerky, and people for whom that's just one of the things that they do.
Well, I'm waiting for the first mainstream series set in Washington or Colorado once legalization goes into effect fully next year. Bob Thompson, thanks for talking to us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Bob is the director of the Blair Center for Television and Popular Culture at Syracuse University. You're listening to KUOW Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds.